Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On this May 1st, 2023, the feast day of St. Joseph the Worker, pray for us. It's a feast day in the church and a big feast day over in Europe, especially in Italy. Joan Lewis has talked about this before, but they have all kinds of celebrations and labor parades, very much similar to our Labor Day in September. So happy Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. Again, St. Joseph, pray for us. Great lineup today that my wonderful producer Andrew has put together for us. Weather, not so much. We are going to be getting some more rain that will happen this afternoon about 1 o'clock. At 8:15, I want to revisit a shortened version of the interview I did with Father James Conlon, the wonderful pastor from St. Francis of Assisi in Ann Arbor, who's going to serve as our chaplain for our second annual La Dolce Fide trip coming up in November. And the reason I want to play a portion of that interview is because if you get my free newsletters, Tease Italy, you can get them for free, obviously, at teresatomeo.com. We put out an e-blast today that our Buona Pasqua sale ends today at 5 o'clock. So if you were thinking about joining us, think quickly because you can still get, well, $200 off your whole trip, and that's a pretty nice little chunk of change. You can buy a couple of nice meals with that in Italy, a nice pair of shoes, a nice purse, and in some cases, depending on where you shop, but if there's a good sale on, Saldi, maybe both, one or more. So check it out, and you can go to our travel page at AveMariaRadio.net because this is co-sponsored by the radio station, by Tease Italy and Corporate Travel, and we're so excited. We have about 20 people signed up right now. Now, the thing is, last year we were at 42, and that was a sellout. The hotel rooms are very limited. Italy is off the charts now for travel, and so I'm not sure how many rooms we're actually going to get. If we can go up to 40 or not, we're still looking into that. But, for example, right now with Ryan and Trine at 30, we are hoping to get some more rooms, and we're really trying to get the rooms. But Italy has been so popular post-COVID, even more popular than before COVID, that the experts here in Rome, we were in Rome recently for the NAC dinner, Bianca Tedesco from Alliantour, our partner, was telling us that there really isn't a slow time anymore. There's a little bit of a downtime, but Italy is consistently busy. So that's where you want to sign up. And again, take advantage of the sale. It ends today at 5 o'clock. And this is a type of trip where you can come. Everything is planned in terms of the big sites. You don't have to worry about it. You've got great, solid Catholic guides. But then you also have plenty of time on your own. If you don't want to be with the group the whole time, we give you downtime, a whole half a day in Assisi after the morning tour. Well, actually, not a half day. The rest of the day is yours, usually done by noon. It's just a great opportunity to see some of the most beautiful sites, especially in the Green Heart or Corda Verde, the Green Heart of Italy, which is Umbria. We'll also be visiting northern Lazio, Viterbo. We're going to be taking you to an Etruscan town, which is fascinating to learn more about the history. You're going to see Orvieto and the Eucharistic Miracle, Assisi, of course, and then down to Rome. So, again, we have a really nice sale going on, and the trip is filling up. So make sure, if you're thinking about joining us, think quickly, so you can take advantage of the sale, all right? And that will be at 8:15. Father James will be joining us just for a few minutes, and this is a portion of the interview we did live last week. Vanessa Denhagarmo, of course, from In the News and Epiphany, is going to be joining me at the bottom of the hour. How about a good news story to start off our segment? There was a beautiful story that came out about a company. Imagine that, a company doing something positive and being truly inclusive. Barbie, Mattel's Barbie division, came up with a beautiful doll in honor of young women with Down syndrome. And she's just lovely, and we're going to be talking about that and the positive message that that sends about true inclusiveness and diversity. In the second hour of the program, Mary Pat Janer is going to be joining us. She's a co-founder and director of the St. Gianna, and wait a minute, I pronounced it incorrectly. Gianna. St. Gianna and Pietro Mola Home. And she is very close friends with Gianni Emanuela, and she also, for the past 18 years, has welcomed expectant mothers and their children to her maternity home in North Dakota, offering them a supportive second family along with every possible resource they might need to rebuild their lives. So that will be a beautiful, beautiful segment. And then we're wrapping up with Jesse Ray and Gail Buckley. Jesse is the son of Steve Ray, and they are really working hard to raise money for scholarships to get students to the Holy Land. And Steve had a great point about this, because our evangelical brothers and sisters do this so much with young people, getting them to significant places of our Christian faith. They did a trip with Ave Maria University. It was a huge success, but students need help, and they're also doing this trip at half price for these young people. So Jesse will be joining us at 9:39, and then we'll wrap up, of course, with Gail Buckley with our Bible verse of the week. So that's a program for today on this first day of May. Let's take a look at the forecast again. We could be getting some rain showers this afternoon with highs in the mid to low 40s. More of the same tomorrow, partly cloudy skies on Tuesday, May 2nd. On Wednesday, a little bit warmer, high in the 50s, and then getting much warmer as the week progresses, thanks be to God. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday looks like a lot of sun, and highs in the 60s, maybe even in the 70s by the weekend rolling around. So that's great news. Nationally, some parts of the country, including the Upper Peninsula, are going to be hit with snow. Rain and snow in the Northeast and heavy wet snow near Lake Superior. So here's what they're saying on the national scene. A slow-moving storm system, continuing rounds of low-elevation rain showers and higher-elevation rain snow over the Ohio Valley and Northeast through the middle of the week, actually. Heavy wet snow on the backside of the storm could accumulate up to 2 feet through Monday and across northern Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And dry, gusty winds will produce critical fire weather over the southern portion of Arizona, and that is for today. So that's a national weather forecast and your local weather right here on Catholic Connection on a Monday morning. 8:06 already, a ton of news to get through, a very busy news day. Let's get started and see what's happening in and around the world on your Monday morning. Happy May, May 1st. St. Joseph the Worker, pray for us. Well, a breaking story that continues to develop. Trey Thomas tells us the reward for information leading to the arrest of the suspect in a mass shooting at a Texas residence has now increased.
The FBI is acknowledging it has zero leads in the search for the suspect who killed five people in a mass shooting at a Texas residence.
The FBI is also offering an additional $25,000 for the apprehension of the subject. So it brings the total amount to $80,000.
San Jacinto County Sheriff Greg Capers said five people were shot to death execution style Friday night at a residence in the town of Cleveland, north of Houston.
Jim Forbes tells us Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito says he believes he actually knows who leaked the bombshell Roe v. Wade abortion draft ruling.
Last year, Politico published a leaked draft of a Supreme Court opinion on a case that eventually led to Roe v. Wade being overturned. Months later, the Supreme Court said an internal investigation could not ID the leaker. In a Wall Street Journal interview out Friday, Justice Samuel Alito says he has a pretty good idea who's responsible, but the evidence is not strong enough for a public accusation. Alito added the leak created an atmosphere of, quote, suspicion and distrust.
The chair of the RNC, Republican National Committee, says party candidates need to address abortion issues head on.
Democrats spent $360 million on this, and many of our candidates across the board refuse to talk about it, thinking, oh, we can just talk about the economy and ignore this big issue, and they can't.
Speaking on Fox News Sunday, RNC Chair Ronna McDonald says the Republicans' performance in the midterms fell below expectations because many candidates refused to talk about abortion. It became an even bigger issue, she says, last year when Roe v. Wade was overturned just months before the elections. McDaniel says Republicans need to go on the offensive and put Democrats on the defense on the abortion issue. Catholic bishops are praising senators who stood their ground last week to prevent efforts to enshrine the Equal Rights Amendment in the Constitution. Senate Republicans effectively blocked a resolution that would have eliminated the already expired 1982 deadline for states to ratify the ERA. Catholic News Agency explains the Constitution requires that three-quarters of the states or 38 states ratify amendments for them to go into effect. The resolution receiving majority support in the Senate with a 51-47 vote, but 60 votes are needed for cloture to end debate and bring the resolution to a floor vote. After failing to reach a 60-vote threshold, the motion was defeated. The ERA would amend the U.S. Constitution, as CNA explains, to declare that equality of rights under the law cannot be denied on account of sex. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and other opponents voicing concern the language could be used to claim a constitutional right to an abortion or could be used to infringe upon religious liberty. Pope Francis urging Hungarians not to close the door on immigrants as he celebrated a huge outdoor mass yesterday. In the final day of his three-day visit to Hungary, more than 50,000 people gathered in and around the square behind the neo-Gothic Parliament building in Budapest for the open-air mass. Francis continuing a theme he began on the first day of his visit on Friday when he warned against what he called the dangers of rising nationalism in Europe. Yesterday, the 86-year-old Pope cast his message in biblical terms, saying that closed doors are painful and contrary to the teachings of the Lord. Meanwhile, as Devin Watkins tells us, praying the Regina Celi at the conclusion of Mass in Budapest, the Holy Father thanked the authorities and people of Hungary for their warm welcome and praised for peace across the European continent, especially in neighboring Ukraine.
In his remarks ahead of the traditional Eastertide Marian prayer, the Pope entrusted the people of Hungary to the Blessed Virgin Mary. From this great city and from this noble country, he said, I desire to entrust to her heart the faith and the future of the entire continent of Europe, which has been on my mind in these days, and in particular, the cause of peace. Pope Francis prayed especially for the neighboring beleaguered Ukrainian people and the Russian people, both consecrated to her.
Tu sei la regina della pace.
You who are the Queen of Peace, he continued, instill in the hearts of peoples and their leaders the desire to build peace and to give the younger generations a future of hope, not war, a future full of cradles, not tombs, a world of brothers and sisters, not walls and barricades. Pope Francis went on to thank Hungary's government authorities and all Hungarians for their heartfelt welcome and the affection I have experienced in these days. He especially thanked the many people who have traveled from afar to encounter him during his 3-day apostolic journey. Acknowledging the many people of other Christian confessions who followed his visit to Hungary, the Pope urged Christians to always support one another, since we are all united by the gospel. He noted the words of Cardinal Peter Erdő, the Archbishop of Budapest, who pointed out that Hungary has lived on the eastern border of Western Christianity for 1,000 years.
È bello che I confini non rappresentano frontiere.
It is a beautiful thing when borders do not represent boundaries that separate, said the Pope, but points of contact, and when believers in Christ emphasize first the charity that unites us.
Thousands of foreign citizens, as Scott Carr tells us, have now been evacuated from Sudan, while thousands of local families have left the capital of Khartoum.
The evacuations are ongoing as two rival military factions, the Sudanese Armed Forces and the rival Rapid Support Forces, keep fighting for control of the North African nation. Despite a supposed truce, both sides agreed to a 72-hour truce Friday after talks with Saudi Arabia and the U.S. But eyewitnesses across the nation reported continued fighting Saturday, including one major battle in a Khartoum neighborhood. Sudanese police deployed forces for the first time since the start of the fighting Saturday to maintain security amid widespread reports of looting.
On the East Coast, folks are recovering around the tri-state area this morning in New York after intense rain flooded out homes, basements, and vehicles over the past few days.
It was just buckets pouring, and it went on for about 2 hours.
You know, the sewage, it got back up, and now everything come out, like the water from like the bathtub.
In Brooklyn, Bergen Beach residents had water and sewage in their basements. Drivers were stranded on some major roadways that flooded, including the Sawmill Parkway, a busy area. There are trees down in several places, and a retaining wall collapsed in one portion of the Bronx. Newark and parts of Queens receiving about 5.5 inches of rain Friday night through Sunday. The New York public officials are saying crews are responding to help homeowners as best they can. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer says Joe Biden and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer need to recognize the gravity of a nation's debt.
We have passed a debt ceiling solution. House Republicans will not allow America to default on its debt. The solution is in the Senate right now.
Speaking on CNN's State of the Union, the Minnesota Republican claiming the president wants to jack up taxes that Schumer and Senate Democrats are just repeating administration rhetoric. The House bill includes numerous spending cuts, which Biden said he would veto in the unlikely event it clears the Senate. A climate activist group is protesting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. They did this over the weekend. Roughly 75 activists of the group Climate Defiance tried to block the entrance to Saturday night's dinner at the Washington Hilton and brought posters, banners, and even a brass band to the protest. The group says they're protesting what they call Joe Biden's broken promises regarding fossil fuel projects. They want to see an end to fossil fuels being extracted from federal lands and say their previous calls for action have gone unanswered. At least 14 people in Ohio are hospitalized after a roof collapse. The Columbus Police Department say officers called to a house near the OSU campus Saturday night. They found the roof caved in, injuring over a dozen people. 14 victims rushed to the hospital, all listed in stable condition. Still, a Columbus Fire Battalion chief says there may have been anywhere from 15 to 45 people on the roof when it collapsed. It appears the roof was simply overloaded with students. Brian Shook tells us U.S. regulators will take over the First Republic Bank now.
Reuters reports the FDIC will place the troubled bank under receivership imminently. The outlet said a source familiar with the matter noted the regulator feels there isn't any more time for a rescue of the bank through the private sector. It would mark the third bank failure this year after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank in March.
And finally, in our news segment at about 8:15 on a Monday morning, the first day of May, St. Joseph the Worker Feast Day, horse racing fans are getting ready for the Kentucky Derby event leading up to the big race this weekend with the Festival Marathon and Mini Marathon. The 149th running of the Derby goes off next Saturday at Churchill Downs. As things stand now, Forte is a favorite heading into the race, which is dubbed the greatest 2 minutes in sports. It's a Monday morning. We will take a quick break and then come back and encourage you to think about coming with us on La Dolce Fide, me, Deacon Dom, and a wonderful pastor who serves as our chaplain, Father James Conlon from St. Francis of Assisi Parish. And there's a special reason we're talking about this morning. Stay tuned.
The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where customers come in for a great service. The 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, and a rare and collectible spirits room. We have the largest selection of spirits in the state at the most competitive prices. Ask for one of the brothers, Cliff or Kelly, and thank them for their strong support of Catholic Radio. Delivery is available. Please visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middlebelt or at winepalace.net.
I produced a live show broadcasted on a social media site on getting organized and the importance of decluttering. There's so much chaos and confusion around us, and sometimes we need to purge. Order in life has a direct impact on our faith. God created order from the beginning, and we see God's desire for order throughout Scripture. In Corinthians, it reads, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." And it also reads, "But all things should be done decently and in order." Getting our life in order, both physically and spiritually, is critical for our faith journey. In Timothy, it reads, "For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" One year, my word of the year was organized. But you don't have to wait for the new year to start getting organized. I focused on that word all year round, and by decluttering my home, I gained clarity in my life. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
When a child's life is lost to abortion, not just the mother and child are affected. Each child has a father. Some fathers are glad to be free from the responsibility, while others mourn for their child. Those men who want to save their child have no legal ability to do so. Please join Right to Life Lifespan Celebrate Life Dinner and Auction Tuesday, May 9th at the San Marino Club in Troy and hear their speaker, Jason Jones, as he relates his experience with lost fatherhood. Call the Lifespan office at 248-816-1546.
Can we move to Italy? I will take a boat and meet you there. Can we move to Italy? I will put fresh flowers in my hair. Can we move?
Trust me, after you go on one of these trips with us, you're going to feel like you definitely want to ASAP move to Italy. That song is Italy by Julia Fordham, and thanks to my dear friend Kathy Crombie, who introduced me to that song, and I must play it like three times a day. I just love it so much. It's so cool. Anyhow, we'd love to have you join us. La Dolce Fide, the sweetness or sweet life of faith, our second annual coming up in November. Great time to go. A little bit quieter than the rest of the year, but Italy is very, very busy, so it's really important that if you're interested in this trip, you sign on now, because there could be a limitation of hotel rooms because of the popularity. And last year we sold out at 42. We couldn't take any more because of the room availability. And I'm not sure how it's going to go this year. I think we're at 20 now, people signed up already. But I think we could take at least 10 more. So please join us. And for more information, we're going to play in about 30 seconds a portion of the interview I did last week with Father James Conlon. It's really important for me and Deacon Dom for you to be able to embrace the sweetness of faith differently than you may on most pilgrimages. In terms of a lot of pilgrimages, not that they're bad, but they run from place to place to place, and you don't have a chance to breathe. You don't have a chance to reflect. You don't have any downtime to enjoy the beauty of such an incredible Catholic country. Even just sitting outside at a little piazza, having an Aperol Spritz or a glass of wine, or maybe going back to San Francesco or Santa Chiara's Basilica, just to sit there and have more time to pray. We give you that on this trip, and that's why it's so different. Plus, you get a ton of great sightseeing, great education on the saints. And this time around, we're adding the beautiful city of Todi, which is incredible, and the city of Narni. This is where C.S. Lewis received the idea for the Chronicles of Narnia. He saw an old Italian map that said Narnia. Now Narnia is called Narni, and that's where he got the name. That's a beautiful city, and Todi is just off the charts. We just, at the end of our last trip to Rome, we took John Hale and Kristen Hale there, and they had never been to Todi and just fell in love with it as well. So we do a lot of things that are a little bit different. We're going to Viterbo, which is called the City of the Popes. We're going to, let's see, Greccio for St. Francis. And Father James loves this tour because he is such a huge fan of St. Francis and St. Clare. So we'll roll a portion of that interview that we had recently with our wonderful spiritual director, who gives great homilies, knows so much about the saints here in the region that we're going to be visiting, of Umbria and Lazio. And he will be, God willing, our chaplain on this year's La Dolce Fide. But today, remember, we have a sale on. Never met a sale I didn't like. Just ask my husband. And if you sign up by today, you can save $100 per person. It's a nice little chunk of change, okay? So I sent that out in an e-blast this morning, but if you're listening to me right now, give Corporate Travel a call, go on our Ave Maria Radio travel page, and check it out. But sign up quickly. Here is Father James and I talking last week, but with you today again, on La Dolce Fide, the sweetness of faith. Take a listen. Now that we're moving into our second La Dolce Fide, what really attracted you in terms of the cities that we visited, the itinerary? What did it mean to you as a priest to be able to celebrate Mass in the different places?
Well, of course, we're stepping into the land of Peter and Francis, as we're hearing. Peter particularly during this Easter season, Peter and Paul, and then Francis, who was obviously a very important part of my life. I'm the pastor of a parish dedicated to his honor. Walking through the streets of Assisi, the streets of Orvieto, these great medieval ancient cities that have so much to offer and just help us so much to grow in our faith. Walking in the footsteps of Francis and Claire. Claire, you know, I often refer to her as my girlfriend, as my, mm-hmm. my go-to one when I need an intercession with the Lord. Claire is there. I love all of that. It brings the depth of our faith to the fore, and it helps us to realize that we're part of this great over 2,000 years mission that is the Church that we belong to share our faith and to explore and to grow and to love it really more than anything else.
So many people, I think we have a few that are returning this year, but so many people said they appreciated being off the beaten path, especially in places such as Greccio, which was the place where St. Francis in northern Lazio started the first creche. That was so breathtakingly beautiful. And I know everyone had a great time, yes, because afterwards we went to a little local restaurant, literally a mom and pop, I think it was a mother and
right.
son, that made the pasta. But the people, they couldn't stop talking about that.
That's right, because I remember actually I said to one of our other mutual friends, Steve Ray, I said, this is the third time I've celebrated Christmas in the last 3 months, mm-hmm. because we were able to celebrate there in Greccio at the shrine where Francis built the first creche, the first nativity scene. Again, that's part of that great history that many, many Catholics aren't aware of, that it was Francis that took that very simple concept and made it such an integral part of our Christmas experience. The Christmas nativity, whether it's a living nativity or whether it's just the little plastic ornaments that we have, all reminding us of the great mystery of the Incarnation. And it began there. For me, one of the great insights that you brought to me was the experience with the Etruscan mm-hmm. history of Italy. You know, we know all about the Romans. And I love Tuscany and all that whole area. Who could not love the wines and the food and all of that good stuff? But learning about the Etruscans, you know, this other group of people who predated the Romans, and about their civilization and their culture. Of course, it obviously was later absorbed into the Roman culture, but it stands on its own, an extraordinary gift to the whole of creation and to the whole of our Western civilization, built on these great foundations. So learning that was a great part of the overall experience for me. Even in addition to the really, obviously, it's a pilgrimage, so it's a spiritual experience first and foremost. And
there's so much history there. I mean, there's so much history in that country, both religious history, obviously, but also ancient history and looking at the different cultures and how one built on the other, quite literally. And you come away with this whole sense of even more appreciation for entire civilization and God's creativity. We're talking with Father James Conlon, pastor of St. Francis Parish in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's going to, again, thanks be to God, be serving as our just delightful, insightful, a heck of a lot of fun he is, our chaplain for our Laudate Fide, the Sweetness of Faith, Deacon Dom and I leading you along with Father James. And it's in November, great time. That was a great time to go, wasn't it, Father?
Yes, it was, and the weather was wonderful. It was a great surprise to us all. We had an excellent time. I don't think it rained at all. But I often say to St. Clair, who's the patroness of good weather, and again, who's from that area, you know, lady, get to work. We don't want to be walking in wet shoes. So she always comes up trumps for me on those occasions.
It's interesting, though, because now they say, and we had a meeting when we were in Rome just recently with Allianz Tours, with whom we work, you know, corporate travel, and Allianz Tours are partners. They're here in Italy and working with us in the United States. And they were saying that there really is no off time anymore because Italy is increasingly popular post-COVID, even more than it was pre-COVID. But she still said late October, November is a great time to go because that's when you'll find, for now, the least amount of crowds. Remember when we were in the Basilica of St. Francis in Assisi and we were the only ones in the upper church?
We were the only people. And I have been in that basilica many, many times. And sometimes it's toe-to-toe. But we were there that morning and we walked through that and we had the time that was necessary to appreciate and to look on all those magnificent frescoes and to hear that story and not be in competition with a million other crowds and tour guides and multiple languages. That was just such a wonderful experience for everyone. And I love that because a lot of people, it may be their only time that they will go to Italy. And when they can maximize that experience on a pilgrimage and have that time to really, really deeply hear and appreciate the history and the spirituality of the place. You know, they go home with magnificent memories that you can sort of close your eyes and conjure up on those wet afternoons when I'm looking out from my office window here and looking out at the snow in Michigan, and I realize and I can pull myself back into Assisi or Vieto or Narni or wherever we go to along the way.
Amen. We're talking with Father James Conlon, pastor of St. Francis Parish in Ann Arbor, Michigan, serving as our chaplain again for Laudate Fide, our second annual pilgrimage off the beaten path in the footsteps of St. Francis, St. Clair, St. Peter, and more. And this year, Father, that you're going to be really, I think, excited because you're adding two new towns. You mentioned Narni, which is where, actually, C.S. Lewis got the name for the Chronicles of Narnia. He saw the name of Narnia on an old Italian map. Now it's called Narni, but it's a very medieval city with an awful lot of history. And then Todi is absolutely beautiful, very important in terms of the papacy and the history of the church. Two gorgeous Umbrian cities that we're adding to this itinerary. It really is off the beaten path, which is super important. We're still going to see the big items. We're going to see the Eucharistic miracle in Orvieto. We're going to see St. Francis and St. Clair. And, of course, we'll be in Rome to see St. Peter's and whatnot and the major basilicas. But I really think for a pilgrimage, Father, to have that downtime, a little bit slower pace, we still did a lot, but a little bit slower pace is so important for that true pilgrimage experience, don't you?
I do. People need that time to really allow it to sink in, that they're walking in the simple things like being able to take a walk in the evening, to go out into the streets of Assisi and say, I'm walking on the same cobblestones that Francis and Claire walked on. Be able to take some time for prayer as well, not to be in a mad rush from one place to another. The next thing, you know, sometimes some tour guides can work with a sense of there's an urgency, I've got to maximize and see everything. Well, you don't always see everything. You need a little downtime in order to appreciate what you've actually seen. You know.
Yes, absolutely. And two, Father, you know me because we've done more than one pilgrimage together. You know me that I never met a sale that I didn't like. And I'm not just talking about
absolutely.
Italian shoes because there's also a lot of sales before Christmas. But we have a beautiful sale. We're calling it the Buona Pasqua, the Easter sale, $150 off per person. And it runs through May 1st. So take advantage of it. And you can go to the AveMariaRadio.net travel page. It's also on my website at TeresaTamio.com under the events section. But it's right there. Just go to Catholic Connection, Travel with Ave Maria. It's on the website, or just shoot me an email and we'll get you all the details. But I want you to sign up, folks, because this sold out last year and it's moving towards selling out again. Great opportunity, and this will be a great Christmas gift, a great anniversary gift, maybe just for yourself if you've never done an Italy pilgrimage,
right.
Or Father, never been on pilgrimage, right?
Yes, and you know, it's funny, actually, just recently I met a lady who said to me, I wish I had done my pilgrimage when I was younger. She left it, she said to me, she left it too late. She was a little slower on her feet and a little less steady about things. And she said, I wish I had done it when I was a little more upbeat and that. I would have really, really joined in all of the different activities. So if you're a listener who's thinking, I'll defer it to later, maybe the Lord is saying to you today, no, this is the time. This is the appropriate time, to quote another great man. This is the time for you to come. And these are, and we never leave anyone alone. You know, we never leave them on their own, I should say. You know, that's what I meant to say. And we're always part of a pilgrim group, looking after one another, making sure that we're taken care of. Nobody is left isolated. That's the whole thing about the church, you know, but it's particularly seen on a pilgrimage experience when we're together and united with one common purpose of experiencing the beauty and the truth and the history, as well as the sociability of a pilgrim experience.
So again, folks, the Dolce Fide, the sweetness of faith with our spiritual director, who is a lot of fun, a very holy priest, a great homilist, and just wonderful to be with. You'll have opportunity for confession. You'll have opportunity to learn from each other and grow in your faith and really go on a powerful pilgrimage, even along parts of the Francigena, the St. Francis Way in central Italy, in Rome, and Lazio. For more information, AveMariaRadio.net, the travel page, and also you can call Corporate Travel at 313-565-8888. Ask for Brandon or Jenna. And remember, we have the Buona Pasqua Happy Easter sale going on, $150 per person through May 1st. So there you go. Check it out, AveMariaRadio.net travel page, and you can go to Catholic Connection and see the image for Catholic Connection. Check it out and register, or even call to ask more questions. Hope you can take advantage of the sale, which ends today, and I also sent out an e-blast about it as well. 313-565-8888, and ask for Brandon or Jenna for more information, as I just mentioned in the interview that we aired, a portion of that from last week. I'm telling ya, as Julia Fordham says, you go to Italy once, it's going to make you want to move there. Trust me, that's how I feel every time I go and come back. I got to go back soon. And God willing, we will be in just a few months, in November. We'll be right back.
Can we move to Italy? I will take a house and make it home. Can we move to Italy? We can dance in Venice, kiss in Rome. Can we move to Italy? Meet me by the church up high on the hill. Please say.
Hey, 37. Welcome back. Hope you're having a great Monday morning, the beginning of May, May 1st, 2023. Let's start with a good news story. Teresa Tamio and Vanessa DeHangarmo. Vanessa, of course, from Epiphany. So, V, this was, I thought, really encouraging. Talk about real inclusivity. So we have Mattel and Barbie working with the National Down Syndrome Society in order to accurately represent a person with Down syndrome. So they did a beautiful job and came up with this lovely little doll that has Down syndrome. They have also done other dolls, for example, who have prosthesis or in a wheelchair, just to make young people who may be struggling with a particular condition feel good about themselves and feel included.
Yeah, and they said in here that their goal is to enable all children to see themselves in Barbie while also encouraging children to play with dolls who do not look like themselves. So it's really trying to encourage that diversity. What struck me when I first saw this, T, when I sent this to you, is that here we live in a country, in a world, where one of the most aborted babies are babies with Down syndrome. And I found it interesting that a company like Mattel is celebrating that, which is beautiful. But at the same time, we don't value those children when we find out a woman's, you know, pregnant with a baby with Down syndrome. It's right away, and you hear story after story. I hear this. I've done a lot of videos with children with spina bifida, and I've talked to so many women who have been diagnosed with their child diagnosed in the womb with spina bifida, and the first thing the doctor will say to these women is, well, you probably should abort. Yeah. So here in a country where this is like we put – the second you find out that something's wrong with your baby, the first thing the doctor says to you will support, and here we're celebrating that beautiful diversity. There's value in every life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the important message in this doll and this whole line that Mattel is doing to show children of diversity with different physical challenges that every life has value. Every life has value. So I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's good because they have a number of different dolls. It started with making Barb and Ken dolls with wheelchairs and then prosthetic limbs, and then the company unveiled its most diverse doll line, its 2023 Fashionista lineup, which included the doll with Down syndrome. Now, it's interesting, again, a disconnect here with the media. The beautiful story, they even mentioned the fact that the doll wears a yellow and blue dress with butterflies, all symbols associated with Down syndrome awareness, according to NDSS. Even the doll's pink necklace has special meaning.
Yeah.
Its three upward chevrons are meant to represent the three copies of the 21st chromosome, which is a genetic material that causes the characteristics associated with Down syndrome. So it's a very educational toy, as well as inclusive. But where is NPR, which is a story from which we're quoting, mentioning the fact that, and they're so pro-abortion all the time, but they do not mention the fact about the high abortion rate with babies in the womb with Down syndrome.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where the biggest disconnect is. You know what I mean? It's like we celebrate this and that's beautiful, but then you're the same people that push to abort these babies and don't value them. So, yeah, I love the whole learning process and how they really they did their homework, T. I mean, they collaborated with the National Down Syndrome Society to accurately represent a person with Down syndrome, so they didn't take it upon themselves to think they knew it was best. They did their research, which is really important. But, yeah, there is a huge disconnect, and that actually prompts a conversation. Now, if we lived in a country, in a world where we could have these critical conversations without shouting matches and canceling each other out, can you imagine how fruitful that conversation would be if we actually had a panel discussion or real discussions in the media on these subjects? But I do have to, you know, you're right. We have to give kudos where they're deserved, and I'm glad to see Mattel coming out with this doll to represent true inclusivity and diversity in our country.
But they should be talking about the abortion issue in terms of as it relates to Down syndrome babies.
But are you surprised they're not?
No, disconnect.
Yeah, and that was the first thing when I read this article. That was the first thing that popped in my head was, where's the conversation about the fact that Down syndrome babies are one of the most aborted babies in the world today? And in fact, there's countries, and I don't want to say the country because I don't know it off the top of my head, but there's actually countries that there's almost like no Down syndrome babies born because it's like almost mandatory that if you're diagnosed with a baby with Down syndrome, you abort the baby. Mm. So it's really being pushed in other parts of the world. They have such a minuscule percentage of Down syndrome children in that country, and I can't remember it off the top of my head. I have to do some research, but I remember reading that. But this is a good message, and I think this is a good conversational piece with our children, especially in a world where there's so much bullying going on. You know, if you're different in any way, let's bully that kid. And this is a great conversation to have amongst middle school kids and younger about how we're all different. I remember when I was at my daughter was in middle school, and Father Andrew Dawson, who we know, who is the associate pastor there, was in charge of celebrating life. And usually you have a speaker come on talking about abortion. Well, no, they brought in a young girl who is living in a wheelchair, and we both know her really well. We both interviewed the mom so many times, and I'm drawing a blank. I can't believe that. But and I thought, Father Andrew, that was brilliant. Mm-hmm. You're celebrating mm-hmm. life, you know, by bringing in a child who is living with Down syndrome. And I mean, not with Down syndrome, living in a wheelchair with a genetic disability, you know. And I thought that was a great way to celebrate life and show our children what life is all about. It was so beautiful. I actually was crying because all the children lined up to whisper something in her ear. It Aww. Was just beautiful, T. And we Gorgeous. Both interviewed the mom, and I'm drawing a blank. Ugh.
I know. Well, we'll think of it after we get up here.
Yeah,
we'll think about
course.
It at 3 o'clock in the morning and call each other.
Well, that's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, Lord, my goodness. Well, that was a beautiful story, and the doll is
yeah.
really lovely. She's going to be on sale
Very
this summer,
lovely.
So it's really pretty, and the dress is beautiful, her hair and everything. So, I mean, I collect dolls. I might even grab this one myself.
Well, I love know? The dress, too, T. I love butterflies. So, like, uh-huh. oh, this is such a pretty dress.
Yeah,
so,
pretty
yeah.
doll, pretty yeah. dress, and a very, very good positive story. Okay, well, you know, being that the media are the media, so the story regarding the press conference last week with Joe Biden,
Lord.
I think this is probably one of the worst situations which shows collusion on the part of the media.
Yeah.
And you still have the LA Times denying that they fed the White House a particular question with their White House correspondent. What was so scary about it, though, is that he has the name, he has a pronunciation of her name, he has the question that she's supposed to ask, and she ended up asking a slightly different question. And we're talking about the press conference last week where Joe Biden was caught with cheat sheets, even a picture of the reporter. The question that she asked was slightly different than the question that was on his notes. So what did he do? He answered the question that was on his notes versus a question
yeah.
she actually asked. What made it even worse, a bad situation
yeah.
even worse.
Yeah, because it's really sad. I mean, this is no longer journalism. I mean, it's becoming more and more obvious that the media is in complete collaboration with political parties that they side with or political candidates they want to promote. This is not about objectivity anymore. This is really agenda-driven, and it's quite sad. I mean, this is so far beyond when Reagan became the president and changed the way the press room was set up and how he orchestrated
right.
it more to be theatrical from his Hollywood days. He made people raise their hand. He changed the camera lighting. This goes way beyond that. This is really trying to control the narrative and trying to control the messaging. And that's what a PR firm does. That's not what the journalists are supposed to do. In
right.
fact, journalists are supposed to dig deep and go beyond that and challenge, you know, candidates and really prompt, hard-hitting questions, regardless of what the PR firm is trying to do. Now you're seeing they're all working together. And so what does that leave the American people? I mean, you know, are we getting truth? Are we getting
no,
real
you're
answers?
Getting a different
no,
image
getting,
that they're trying
no.
to that they're trying to put forward of the president.
Yeah.
That ignoring the fact that he is, and no disrespect to the elderly, but he's struggling. He's really,
yeah,
really struggling.
Should. Yeah, there's no disrespect. Listen. We're all getting older, right? We all age. That's inevitable. And we all have different issues as we get older, cognitive issues. That's no disrespect to anybody, but that's just reality. And,
mm-hmm.
and so they're coddling him at the age of 80 years old to push this agenda to make sure he gets reelected. I mean, what else? What other reason would they do this unless they have an end game in mind? What is their
mm-hmm.
end game? Is it for the American people? Is it for the greater good of this country? Or is it to make sure that he wins and no other candidate challenges him? I mean, you know, why else would you go to this great length? I mean, he's got cue cards, T.
It's one thing to have notes. I mean, everybody, I'm sure.
Sure.
And we work with people all the time, and they may have notes. But to sit there and to be told, okay, you're going to take a question from this reporter, and this is what she is going to ask you. This is the question, and this is how you are to respond. So everything is so scripted in order to make
yeah.
him look a certain way, that he is with it, that he understands what's going on. But even the way that she asked the question, he was not on top of enough. He's so concerned that he's watching his notes so carefully
yeah.
that he went ahead and just basically read the cue card versus
yeah.
actually answered her question.
And not, don't forget, T, we've had this whole entire presidency he has had very little live press conferences. A lot of these
mm-hmm.
have been virtual, controlled settings. I mean, there's very few impromptu. You don't see this president doing the same level of press conferences or the same number as previous presidents. It's done very differently. And I know they had, you know, COVID was the reason in 2020, but we're now in 2023. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What's the reason for these controlled and structured press conferences to the level that there's no sign of anything being natural or impromptu? You know what I mean? I mean, you
mm-hmm.
have cue cards that says, you know, question one, reporter, Q&A, you know what I mean? It's totally orchestrated.
Showed a picture of the Los Angeles Times White House correspondent. By the way, we're reading from a really good commentary that V and I were going over this morning before the show from the Federalist. It's excellent. You should read it. The card labeled question number one, and the reporter was a White House correspondent from the L.A. Times. And the text of the question about semiconductor manufacturing. Biden duly called upon her when then did ask a question about semiconductors, though not the exact same question that was on his card. In any event, Biden followed the script and gave her the answer to the question he thought he was getting rather than the one she posed. It's generally no secret what questions reporters are liable to ask, since most follow the dictates of the news cycle. And while the tradition of the White House pressers has generally called for senior reporters or major outlets to be given priority to ask questions, other presidents have been comfortable enough in public to be able to choose for themselves and be able to answer without scripts or notes. So the question this incident poses is far more serious than the fact that Biden can't maneuver through a public event without minute instructions. The card shows that the reporter is submitting her questions in advance of the presser, and it is likely that others who are called upon are required to do the same. And this is the thing.
This is all planned.
This is nothing live. There's nothing off the cuff. There's nothing real about this. It's scripted. It's not even a legitimate press conference, V.
And T, we know from our experience, it's not legitimate at all. We know from our experience to ask a reporter their questions ahead of time, they'd be like, yeah, no, that's not happening.
That is a no-no. Always has been a no-no.
Yeah, I mean, especially in these situations when you're dealing with politicians and elected officials that are supposed to be accountable to the public, you don't help them with their questions ahead of time. I mean, you know, this is what debates are all about. You don't help them to that level that they're so prepared. I mean, in 2022, you know, we saw that he was being totally instructed to, you know, they had a card that says you enter here, you take your seat, you thank participants, you depart. I mean, it's so basic, you kind of wonder, why does he need instructions to say where, you know, to thank people? You know what I mean? It's pretty concerning. But, CT, the problem with this is that where is it going to go from here?
Well, and most people don't know what's going on, V, because it's presented as a legitimate press conference. Unless they're listening to us or some other commentators who are going to critique the media, that's not going to happen. There's another good point in this piece on the Federalist. It goes beyond the unwillingness of virtually any member of the current White House press corps other than Fox News' Peter Doocy to pose tough questions. It means they've abandoned even the pretense that they are there to hold the administration accountable and are instead merely the media auxiliaries of the Democratic Party. Even more than just this disinterest in basic journalist ethics, this kind of cooperation shows the length to which some reporters and their bosses are willing to go to cover up Biden's incapacity to serve. So what they're saying in this piece is exactly what we're saying. They are working in conjunction with the administration.
Yeah. It's just an extension of the administration. This is not a media outlet. This is a PR extension of the administration. That's what we're seeing. This is very alarming and very concerning, because where do we go from here as Americans? Are we ever going to have real journalism anymore? Is anybody going to hold?
I don't think so either.
And so what do we do as consumers? That's the whole point of us talking about this. We have to do our due diligence. We have to ask questions. We have to hold people accountable. Unfortunately, we can't depend on the media anymore to be objective, to be fair, to be balanced, and to challenge and hold elected officials accountable. I mean, they work for us, but when they're in cahoots to this level, we can't depend on them to dig deep and dig for the real answers. Unfortunately, this is just another example of what media has become today, T.
I mean, we look at also, the article goes on to point out other examples with the left and the covering up of the extent of Senate candidate John Fetterman's incapacity in the wake of a massive stroke. And then he was hospitalized earlier this year, and he was in the hospital for several weeks. And decisions were being made. I don't know by whom. I mean, I didn't think he was able to make those decisions. But it's like, could you imagine if that happened to a conservative and he or she were in the hospital and making decisions from a hospital bed? That would have been all over the media. So this is very discerning, but that's why we have In the News with B&T. We have to do our homework, we have to be our own reporters, and you have to listen to different sources, including us.
And you have to ask questions.
Ask questions, right. Don't just assume that everything you're reading from, especially from the secular press, is reality. Ed, speaking of great sources and information, what's coming up on Epiphany today at noon, my friend?
Oh, well, T, I have a great story I'm going to share about an epiphany moment my daughter had this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll tell you really briefly. In fact, I texted you, and I realized I texted the wrong number after.
Oh, okay.
I was like, do you realize you texted T the wrong number? I was like, oh. Anyway, so I'll tell you really quickly. I just want to share a quick epiphany moment. My daughter was having some girl drama, okay? You know, it's high school. And we were talking through it, T, and I was giving her advice and talking to her really quickly. The homily at church was exactly what I was saying. And she looked at me and she said, Mom, did you call the priest and tell him my whole story? I'm like, no.
That's God. God called him, though.
And I said,
God called him.
Listening for God part two with T.
There you go. There you go. Love it. All right, V, we'll talk to you later. Epiphany today. You don't want to miss it at noon. Vanessa Denha-Garmo, host of our daily program, noon, Monday through Friday. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Adora Kassab Ibrahim, broker and owner of Lighthouse Real Estate Group. I would love to guide you with your real estate needs, both residential and commercial. As a family-owned business, I always have your family's best interests at heart. Allow my 25 years of experience to serve you. Please call me today at 248-210-8229 and visit our website, lighthouse-reg.com. That's lighthouse-reg.com.
How can we regard John the Baptist? In a sense, John the Baptist is the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit even before his birth, when Elizabeth reported to Mary that the babe in her womb leaped for joy as Mary arrived pregnant with Jesus to visit and assist her cousin. John the Baptist was the Elijah promised to come before the arrival of the Messiah. He also completes the cycle of prophets that began with Elijah. In John, the Catholic Catechism tells us, the Holy Spirit begins the restoration of man to the divine holiness, prefiguring what he would achieve with and through Christ. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. Please visit us at our website, www.maltausa.org.
Ever thought you'd make a bungle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
We are going to talk a little bit more about St. Gianna Brenamola and the positive fallout of her sainthood. Plus, we're going to learn about students going over to Israel and how you can help Catholic students specifically. And then wrapping up with our scripture verse of the week. All on a Monday. Could get some rain by this afternoon, but then clearing up for the rest of the week. And much warmer. Could get into the 60s and 70s here in Michigan. We'll be right back.